You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When the International Exhibition of Modern Art, now commonly known as the Armory Show, opened at the 69th Regiment Armory on Lexington Avenue in February 1913, many of the works were seen as shocking, even scandalous. But over the last century, those same artworks have come to be viewed as some of the most important examples of modern art. The New York Historical Society has now gathered 100 of them into an exhibit called The Armory Show at 100, Modern Art and Revolution. It is on view until February 23rd, and I'm very pleased to welcome curator Marilyn Satin Kushner and historian Casey Nelson Blake to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why is The Armory Show considered so important in the history of modern art? And are we talking about all modern art or just American modern art?
Well, that's two questions then. I think it's the Armory Show is important in the history of art in America, and the Armory Show is important in the history of modern art that came here from Europe. Those are two different things. This was the first time that that modern art, avant-garde art from the Europeans, were being shown to the massive American public here.
Casey, can you give us a sense of what was going on in New York and the country in general in 1913?
Sure. New York in 1913 really emerged as the cultural capital of the United States. It had eclipsed Boston, which, of course, in the 19th century was the literary and intellectual capital of the U.S.
There was also Philadelphia.
There was Philadelphia.
Some pretty great artists in Philadelphia.
For sure, most of whom made their way to New York before World War I, John Sloan, Robert Henri, and others. And I think that by the end of the 19-teens, people in the U.S. and, in fact, people all around the world are looking at New York as the global capital of the new.
How did the labor movement and the suffrage movement affect what artists were doing? Were politics and art becoming more intertwined at that time than they had been before?
Yes, very much so. In the years before World War I, you see particularly in Greenwich Village, which, believe it or not, was a neighborhood with cheap rents that attracted artists and writers, a kind of churn that brought together political radicals, artistic modernists, feminists, all of whom were united in the belief that these developments somehow freed people's capacity for self-expression.
Marilyn, how did the 1913 Armory Show come to be organized? Was it a kind of Salon des Refusés put on by a group of artists who were unhappy with the exhibitions organized by the National Academy of Design?
I wouldn't call it a Salon des Refusés, but it was organized by a group of young artists who got together in late December 1911 and decided that there really were not enough places for them to show their work. And if they didn't show it in the National Academy of Design exhibition, they really had very few outlets and ways to get to the American public.
So then they picked this immense space, the Armory, which is on Lexington Avenue between 25th and 26th Street, is larger than any gallery at the time and probably even today. Was the show something like the art fairs that have become so popular more recently?
It might have been, and there were also a lot of pieces at the show that were for sale, but there were a number of pieces at the Armory Show that were not for sale, that were lent by lenders, that were lent by, well, the dealer's pieces were for sale. But no.
So you said they started doing this in 1911. It took them 2 years to put it together?
No, it didn't. They started in December 1911, and in the early winter months of 1912, they formed the Association of American Painters and Sculptors, which was 25 artists. And in that late winter, early spring, they leased the Armory. But they didn't do a lot more about the exhibition, really, until late summer.
And how did they decide on what works to include?
Two ways. The European pieces were chosen by Walt Kuhn, who was one of the major organizers of the exhibition, along with Arthur B. Davies.
Not the most radical of all artists.
No, not the most radical of all artists. But a lot of the artists, that American artists who understood what was going on in Paris, were in Paris. A number of them were. And it was Davies and Kuhn and Walter Pach, who was an expatriate working in Paris, who was not a member of the AAPS. It was the three of them that really chose a lot of the works that were in Europe.
Were the American and European works shown together, or were they put in separate galleries?
They were put in separate galleries. The American, when people entered the exhibition, they entered a gallery of all American art. It was American sculpture and screens that were painted by Robert Chandler. If they went straight back, if they went straight ahead, then they were introduced to the history of avant-garde art in Europe from the mid-19th century. If they took the side aisles, then they saw the Americans.
And there were 1,000 artists represented?
A little less than that. There were less than that. But there were 1,400 works in the exhibition, of which more than half were by American artists.
And some no longer even remembered, like Robert Chandler.
Yes, but hopefully he'll be remembered again.
Did all of the newspapers and magazines review it?
I don't know if all the newspapers and magazines reviewed it, but it certainly received extensive coverage. And I should say that the organizers of the Armory Show were masters of public relations. They expected controversy, they wanted controversy, and they got it.
Did they get any favorable reviews?
Sure.
Yes, they did. There were a number of critics that liked what was going on. They understood it. But the ones that made the most noise were the ones who didn't like it and called the work monstrous and imbecile and a lot of other adjectives.
Or the critic who dubbed New Descending a Staircase by Marcel Duchamp an explosion in a shingle factory.
Right.
I don't know why that painting outraged so many critics. Hadn't other Cubist paintings been exhibited in the country?
There had not been a lot of Cubist paintings exhibited in the country. The one dealer in the country that was showing this kind of art was Alfred Stieglitz. And he's very well known in terms of people who know about art dealers at that time. But if you consider the fact that Stieglitz was on the fourth floor of a small building with a little tiny elevator that went up, and if you happened into that building and went up those four floors flights and met a grumpy dealer, a great grumpy dealer, but who wanted to really almost have an art salon for his artistic friends, you realize that most people in the country had not seen this kind of cubism before.
How many people came to see the Armory Show? It was up for only a month, wasn't it?
It was up for a month. It was up for a month in New York, and 87,000 people saw it in New York.
80,000, that's a lot of people.
87,000. Then it went to Chicago, 188,000 people saw it.
Well, that's because Chicago has a larger population than New York. Now, was it akin to a blockbuster museum show today, like the Alexander McQueen show of a few years back, something anyone with even a slight interest in the arts felt they had to see?
I think so. I think that there is talk about the fact that even the trolley drivers knew what was going on because there had been so much buzz about it before it even opened. So I think that there were a lot of people that just wanted to go and see what this was all about.
Another painting that upset many people was Henri Matisse's Blue Nude, which is a much less abstract work. Why did it upset so many people?
Well, let's go back first to the New Descending. When these people who were not used to looking at cubism looked at the New Descending, they knew from the title, The New Descending Staircase, that it was supposed to be a new, but they couldn't see that. They were befuddled. They were puzzled. Well, I'm supposed to understand this. I don't see it. But when they looked at the Blue Nude was abstract, and it was not abstract, but it was a nude, but it challenged every idea of beauty. It was regressive. It was not progressive. It was, you know, these artists were attacked as being anarchists, which were red flag words, which Casey can address that issue.
If I may add something here, I don't think it's coincidental that the most controversial works in the show are nudes. This is happening at the very moment when women are out in the streets in New York in new ways, as suffragists, as feminists, as leaders of labor unions. Women are presenting themselves in public in new ways in places like Coney Island, dressing very differently than their Victorian mothers and grandmothers. And so as a result, I think that the issue of how women appear in public, how women's bodies are represented, is a controversial one both inside the Armory and on the street.
But there had been lots of nudes, sculptures, paintings that were a lot more realistic than Henri Matisse's, and nobody seemed to be upset by them.
I think that Marilyn can speak to this, I suppose, better than I, but I think that the Blue Nude attracts the kind of criticism it does because its critics see it as a kind of savage attack on the tradition of the female nude.
Oh, so they saw it the way later people saw de Kooning's women as a kind of misogynistic?
Right. Well, they saw that it wasn't what their ideal idea of perfect beauty was. It wasn't a classical nude. It was, in a way, it was naked, as opposed to the idea of being a nude.
My guests are Marilyn Satin Kushner and Casey Nelson Blake. We're talking about the Army Show at 100, Modern Art and Revolution, currently on exhibit at the New York Historical Society. And by the way, we have a slideshow on our website with some of the images from the show. Was the American public also being introduced to other artists who we now take for granted as part of the of modern art? You mentioned artists that going all the way back to the middle of the 19th century. Was the public familiar with Van Gogh, Renoir, Cezanne, Gauguin?
The public was aware of a number of those artists. The idea of the French Impressionists was very popular in America at that point. One of the reason that a lot of these earlier paintings were included was because the organizers wanted to show their American public. They wanted to educate. They weren't trying to shock the public, but they realized that they had an American public that understood French Impressionism and liked it, but were being asked to make the jump from Impressionism to Cubism. That's a big jump for them to make.
And then Kandinsky as well.
Picabia,
paintings that are totally non-objective or whatever word we
want
to use.
Well, they're abstracted from reality. And that was – so what the organizers tried to do was bring in mid-19th century pieces to show the American public, number one, that these great old masters were very highly respected now but were absolutely criticized back when they began showing work.
Now, when you think about the American artists who exhibited, you get two very different strains. The ones who didn't go to Europe tended to be the Ashcan school type avant-gardists. The ones who went to Europe, like Marcin Hartley or Morgan Russell or Stanton McDonald Wright or Patrick Henry Bruce and some others, they had totally committed themselves to European styles.
They had. They saw it in Paris, and they were committed to it. And it's interesting with Morgan Russell because he writes in a letter, he says, they asked me to submit two pieces to the Armory Show, and they wanted some of the more abstracted pieces that he was working on, which he preferred to save and show for the first time in Europe in the spring and the fall of 2013. And instead, he said he sent an old still life and a portrait because he didn't want to unveil that new abstract work in America. He wanted to wait and do it in Paris. So he was
because he wanted taken seriously by the European avant-garde?
I think so, and it was also a way that he wanted. I think a lot of Americans who were working in Paris at the time had somewhat of an inferiority complex, and he wanted to prove to, I think, his European audiences that he got it and that he was a part of the new avant-garde movement.
Now, we've been getting some comments from listeners. Richard from New Jersey says, if I look at Matisse's Blue Nude, the side and the arm look like they have been altered. Why would that be?
Well, they might look like they've been altered, and another theory is that it was Matisse's attempt also to show the nude in motion, and so he chose to do it in that way.
And then talking about motion, Nude Descending the Staircase is all about a nude in motion. It's almost like a precursor of what the Italians later came up with, futurism, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Now, we see that figure today. Why couldn't they see it then? Have we been educated to read these paintings differently over the last 100 years?
Certainly. And mm-hmm. We're used to looking at them, and we have to realize that when we look at any work of art, you can't look at it with early 21st century eyes. You have to take yourself back then and look at what they've been looking at and how they've come to understand form and what they're used to figuring out. And then you realize that they weren't used to seeing anything like this before.
How did the public react to the Ashcan school, people like John Sloan and Robert Henri, who painted genre scenes from real life?
They were painting genre scenes from real life, but it was what they were painting that was radical when they were shown first in 1908. It wasn't the style. The style is fairly traditional. But they were criticized for the fact that they had gone out to paint what they saw as the underside of the city instead of a nice, beautiful Impressionist scene.
And I think that if you look at what Henry and Sloan and Bellows were painting, you see a project that fit with the progressive reform movements of the time. So in that respect, progressives understood what they were about.
I have always been curious about Robert Henry's name because his real name was Robert Henry something else, and he chose to call himself Henri, which, even though the name is spelt like the French word name Henri, so this was kind of like playing a game between what Europeans and Americans might expect?
Well, I think that Henri was such an advocate of American art and the Americanness and the stark views of the city that he wanted to separate himself from the Europeans, which was why he painted the figure in motion that we have in the Armory show, which was an answer, almost an answer to, we know that he saw Matisse's Blue Nude when he was over in Paris in 1912, the fall of 1912. And we think that he probably also saw the nude descending a staircase. But this was very American. She's very brash. She's, you know, she looks somewhat traditional. Her hair is bobbed. She looks very modern. And this is the theory of my co-curator, Kim Orcutt, who has said that this was almost Henry's answer, his declaration of American independence from the European avant-garde work, and saying, I can be avant-garde, but I'm going to do it in my way, in an American way. And I think that might tie into all of this.
Now, what effect did the Armory Show have on artists in this country? Did its impact immediately, could we see its impact immediately in what young artists were doing?
On a few. But most of them, it did not impact them. A number of artists are recorded as saying, this is the end of it for us boys. They're not going to look at us anymore. And a lot of that did happen because the American public woke up to avant-garde art in Europe and began to buy it from the European dealers who came over to the U.S., so some artists did change. Blumner changed. Davies changed a little bit. He became very cubist looking, and then he wasn't well received by the critics, so he went back to his more traditional work.
Now, I'd imagine that putting the show together would present some difficulties. The Philadelphia Museum of Art loaned New Descending a Staircase, which was almost essential work for a show on the subject. Was it difficult to get them and some others to lend you these valuable works?
Well, some took a little bit of negotiating. I have to say that Kim and I, the first place we went when we decided we were going to do this exhibition was the Philadelphia Museum of Art. We wouldn't have done this show without the New Descending. And they were wonderful. They said we could have anything they want, anything that they had that we wanted.
They have a great Duchamp room.
Right. And the Picabia came from them, a Jacques Vieux. I mean, they had a lot of pieces that they offered to us. There were other institutions that, you know, took a little bit of negotiating, but I think the general idea was that this was an important exhibition.
Should we assume that pretty much all the works that were at the Armory Show are now in museum collections, one place or another?
No. We only know where there are about half of them. And a number of them are still in private collections, and a number of important ones are still in private collections, but
you said
a lot of them.
1,400 works altogether.
1,400 works, right.
The show will be at the New York Historical Society until February 23rd. Then will it travel to other venues like the Armory Show?
No. No, we would lose a lot of the loans if we traveled the show around. These pieces are so important that the institutions don't want to let go of them for very long, which is the reason why most art exhibitions will run in a museum for about 3 months. This one is up for 4.5 months, but then it will not travel from here.
You have a wonderful catalog that goes with the exhibit, and it has a painting by Picabia on the cover. Why did you choose Picabia of all the artists who exhibited there? Not that there's anything wrong with Picabia.
Well, actually, when we told somebody at the museum that we were going to put the Picabia on the cover, they said, "What? No New Descending?" And what we're trying to say is that yes, this show is about bringing avant-garde art to America. So we wanted something that was avant-garde, something that was cubist on the cover. But Picabia was a great artist, and he was the only European who saw the Armory Show. He was the only European artist in the exhibition who saw the Armory Show.
Well, he was also one of the few European artists who lived in New York for a long time.
He did.
Duchamp. It's
right.
Kind of interesting.
Right. Well, and Picabia was enamored with New York. He called it the Cubist City. And he loved the city, if you want to.
And he actually comes to New York during the Armory Show.
My thanks to both of you for being on our show. Marilyn Satin Kushner is curator and head of the Department of Prints, Photographs, and Architectural Collections at the New York Historical Society. Casey Nelson Blake is senior historian for the Armory Show at 100, professor of American Studies and History at Columbia University. And what are the hours that the Historical Society is open? How can
we're
people get
we're
to
generally
see
open 10 to 6. We're open until 8 on Fridays. There are various times when we are closed, so one needs to check the website. But
I'm assuming you close tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.